Let the world read. Where would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children, and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
When someone is stating something that is obviously true, one of the jokes that is commonly told is the Pope a Catholic? Yet, our previous Pope, Pope Francis, that just recently passed away, gave question to this and really actually we kind of wondered, was he a Catholic? And I actually, September 22nd, 2013, actually preached a sermon entitled, Is the Pope a Catholic? And the reason I did so is because of comments that he had made in an interview with La Civilita Catholica that was also in partnership with the American Magazine, where he actually said that the church should not focus quite as much on abortion, gay marriage, and the use of contraceptive methods. He actually said we cannot insist only on issues related to abortion, gay marriage, and the use of contraceptive methods. This is not possible. And I have not spoken much about these things, and I was reprimanded for that. Certainly his predecessors, Pope Benedict and John Paul II, they were both people that did speak out. They were popes that did speak out and call, especially on life, really to encourage the protection of every innocent human life. And really, this struggle that we see in the Catholic Church, we also have seen this struggle, not only in the Catholic Church, we've seen it in the Presbyterian Church and the Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church and the Episcopal Church and the Baptist Church. We've seen it even in non-denominational churches where pastors have been unwilling to speak forth the truth. And we have people have heard, and really what happens is that you have people, and they are liberals. And I'm not talking about liberals in a sense of political sense. I'm talking about liberals and people that don't believe in the Word of God. Or at least they want to hide certain portions of the Word of God or not talk about certain portions of the Word of God. Specifically, not they don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to call people to repent. They don't want to tell people that abortion is sin. They don't want to tell people that homosexuality is sin and call people unto repentance. And really, without telling them that this is sin, how could they know that it is sin and repent of their sins and turn to God? And that's really what is necessary for that person to be set free from their sin, not only from their sin, but also the guilt that that sin brings. We have in this country, the church has, and I'm not just talking about the Catholic Church, but really all churches, many churches, not all churches, you know, some there are churches that have been faithful to preach the Word of God, but even many of those who do proclaim the full counsel of God really limit how many times they speak on controversial issues because they know that people will complain. And the reason people complain is that people are committing those sins or have committed those sins in the past and don't want to be reminded that that is a sin and don't want to admit that they sinned. And really, without admitting, without being reminded that they made a sin, we're removing from them the opportunity, and we're removing really from God the opportunity to remind them through our words that what they did was a sin and to call them unto repentance. We have discipled this nation that God is love. Everyone knows that God is love. But what they don't know, and I would encourage you to do a search, open up BibleGateway.com on a website and go to their website and do a search for God is. That phrase, God is. I think you'll be amazed. God is light. God is an angry God. If he is righteous and he is an angry God, if the wicked does not turn and repent, if the wicked does not forsake his wickedness and cry out to God for forgiveness, what will happen is that wicked man will turn, he will actually die, and he will go to hell. And it is important that we speak the truth. And one day I was actually, some of you guys may have heard this story before, but I used to be I was a missionary to the preborn. And I was actually incarcerated multiple times, arrested more than 50 times for peacefully protecting preborn children. I spent cumulative total, not all at once, but a cumulative total of about 3 years of my life in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children. And one of those times I actually was sentenced to 2 years in jail. I actually spent about, I think, just shy of 16 months in jail. Quite often when you're sentenced, you don't spend the full amount of time. I was released early. But right after I had been sentenced to 2 years, I was brought back to the place, to the jail that I had come from to go to court. And when you're coming into that jail, that facility, they bring you to a particular dormitory that is really just a temporary dormitory to figure out where you're going to go. And people go to different parts of the jail based on what crimes they've committed or what crimes they're accused of committing and whether they've been sentenced or not. And I had, prior to this, I had not been sentenced, but after this, I was sentenced. So they were going to send me to a different place. And this particular day was kind of a slow, must have been a slow day for the jail on intake, because there was only three people there, inmates at least. There was me, and there were two homosexuals, and there are bunk beds there. And I was at one of the bunk beds, and next to me were these two homosexuals. And I was trying to read the Bible and pray and really focus on God. And these homosexuals were talking about vile acts. They were talking about their perversion. And really, the homosexuals that are in jail, they're most of the time, they're male prostitutes. And whether you know it or not, there's certain people that are claiming that there's no difference between male and female today, but there actually is, especially when you talk about sexuality. And certainly there are certain things that homosexual prostitutes can't do, but there are other things they can do. And what they can do, they do those things. And eventually, quite often, they do get arrested and they do come to jail. And so they were actually talking about their perversion. And again, I'm trying really hard to ignore them, to not really focus on what they're saying, to just really read the Bible and focus on God. And you know, at some point it just became too much. I couldn't take it anymore. And you could just imagine the vileness that they were talking about. And I just looked at them and I said, "Don't you know what you're talking about is an abomination to God?" And one of them told me, "God is love." He had never heard that God is also light, that God is righteous, that God is holy, that God calls us unto holiness, that we have all sinned, and because we have sinned, we are under the wrath of God. Read John 3, not just 3:16, but 3:17 also. 3:16 says that God loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But 3:17 says that he who does not believe actually has the wrath of God upon him. We don't talk about that. We just talk about the love part of it. We don't talk about, listen, if you don't repent of your sin, sins, you're going to hell. People need to be warned about the consequences of their sin, the consequences of their lifestyle. These homosexuals knew that God loved them, but they didn't know that they had that their lifestyle was an abomination because they weren't told that it was an abomination. Well, I told them it was an abomination. Hopefully God used that to convict them of their sin. But, really, they had been told so much about God's love, they didn't know and weren't told about the righteousness of God. And it is clear when you look at the various denominations, there is a big struggle between this idea that we can just talk about the love of God, we can talk about the goodness of God, we can talk about the mercy of God without talking about sin, and without talking about some of the controversial issues, and without calling people unto repentance. And really, that's not what the Bible says. We are at a time where we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That's from Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude, but Jude verse 3. And we are at a time where whether you're a Catholic or a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist or an Episcopalian, or maybe you go to a non-denominational church, maybe you're Assemblies of God, your Church of God, whatever you call yourself or whatever type of church you go to, we are at a time where we need to earnestly contend for the salvation that was delivered to us and earnestly contend for the truth that is found in God's word. And I want to encourage you to pray for the Pope, not for Pope Francis. I want to encourage you to pray for the next Pope. As we mentioned last week, Pope Francis is dead. He actually lived his life. Certainly, you could believe that you can pray for him. But you know what? He had his chance. I'm not saying he's going to hell. I'm not saying he's going to heaven. I'm telling you, though, that if he is going to heaven, he's going to heaven not because he was the Pope, not because of his good works. He's going to heaven because he repented of his sins and he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He believed that God had raised him from the dead and he trusted him for salvation. The blood of Jesus was applied to his life. That's the only way that he will actually go to heaven, and that's the only way that you will go to heaven too. You can't be good enough for God. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I want to encourage you to pray for the next Pope, that the next Pope will actually have the courage to be faithful to Scripture, to the teachings of the Catholic Church, certainly, but also, more importantly, to the clear teaching of Scripture, to call sinners to repent, to show sinners their sin. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that there's coming a time when people won't endure sound doctrine. And what will happen because of this is that they will heap up to themselves teachers that will tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And certainly when you speak the truth, when you call sinners to repent, when you show sinners the error of their way and call them to repentance, what is going to happen very often is the sinners are going to be upset. And if the sinners can leave your church and go to another church, there's a good chance that they will. And if the sinners can vote you out of being the pastor, there's a good chance that they will. And what needs to happen is that pastors and leaders and Christians and church leaders and even the Pope needs to be willing to proclaim the Word of God, even though there are people that want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear about the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. But you can't really fully appreciate the grace of God until you appreciate how you have violated His commandments and how He poured out His wrath upon His Son and poured out, and His Son actually bore your sins. And until you repent of your sins. In fact, you can't repent of your sins if you don't know that you have sinned. If you don't know, and the Bible even talks about this in Romans chapter 10, how shall they know unless there's a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? The preachers have to speak the word of God. There's a principle of the Reformation called sola scriptura, which means by scripture alone. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 7, all scripture has been given to us by God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what we believe. For reproof, for showing someone the error of their ways, for correction, again, bringing someone back from the error of their ways to do what is right, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We also see that the word of God in Isaiah chapter 55 does not return unto God void. It brings forth fruit, the fruit that God has called us unto. Also, the law of God shows us, it can't save us, by the way. The law of God can't save us. Telling someone they're a sinner can't save them. But it is our tutor or our schoolmaster to lead us to God. That's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. That was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that he would not have known sin except through the law. The law showed him that he was a sinner. In fact, he was someone that really, really tried to keep the commandments of God. He tried to do what was right. He tried to follow the principles of God. And outwardly, he did to a large extent. But when he got to the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, he realized there's no outward action if you don't actually steal something that someone else has, or you don't tell someone that you covet what someone else has. No one will know whether you're coveting or not if you don't take someone's wife or take someone's husband as your own. Then no one will know that whether you were coveting or not. But this is a sin that deals solely with the heart. And the law of God, Jesus made it clear, God cares not just about our outward actions. He cares about the heart as well. It's important that we realize that pastors and the Pope and priests and bishops and cardinals, and even you, even if you're not a pastor, not a minister, not a pope, not a priest, you have an accountability and a responsibility to speak the truth and to call sinners unto repentance, to really be a witness to the truth. The Apostle Paul, toward the end of his life, he actually got Christians together and he said, listen, I'm free from the blood of all men because I have declared to you the full counsel of God. I can tell you that there's a lot of ministers today that will not be able to say that at the end of their lives because they have purposely skirted the issues. They have purposely avoided talking about the sins that Christians commit, the sins that happen in the world, that sins that sinners commit, and we're all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And without standing and calling people to repentance, then we are the converse of what Paul said, is that we are guilty of the blood. There are going to be people that are going to be able to stand up one day before God and say, listen, I didn't know that this was a sin because they haven't been told. Their pastors didn't tell them. Their pastors refused to speak on these issues. The pastors just said, hey, we're going to talk about the love of God. We're going to talk about the grace of God. We're going to talk about His goodness. We're going to talk about His mercy. We're going to talk about Him wanting to bless you. I mean, you can just turn on the TV and see some of the some of the biblical, some of the pastors speaking on these principles, on the goodness of God. And you won't hear quite as much about sin and calling people unto repentance. You never know, though, when you speak the truth, you never know, even the people that respond in hatred, you never know what God is going to do with that seed. The Bible tells us that some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. And there are times that we speak the truth and people may actually lash out at us and may hate us for that, may despise us for that. But you never know how down the road God can use that to minister to them. And when I was in college, I was very outspoken. I was a bold Christian. And I was in the music department at IRCC back then. Now it's IRSC, but IRCC back then. When I would come into a room at the music department, about half the kids were Christians, about half of them weren't. If the kids were Christians, they would continue to talk about what they were talking about. If they weren't Christians, whatever they were talking about, I don't know what it was, they would just stop talking. There was one man, one student there that really hated me for what I had done. Hated me so much that he actually rammed his instrument into my bass guitar. Thankfully, I didn't realize that he had done this because that cost me $650 plus tax. And I had to work for a long time to raise that much money back then. And I took really good care of that bass guitar. Yet one day down the road, he was at a very low point in his life. And the words that I had said to him in witness and the words that others had said to him, he remembered and he repented of his sins and he turned back to God. He told me later that there were only three people in the world that had ever told him about Jesus and had ever told him about his sin and called him to repent. And what if I didn't? What if I was ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if I didn't speak the truth? What if I skirted some of those issues and didn't talk about sin and didn't call sinners unto repentance? What could have happened? And it is important that we actually speak the truth, even on these controversial issues. The reason that so many people will speak out and will actually get mad when you speak on life is that so many people have actually had abortions and they don't want to be reminded. They don't want to admit. They want to believe that they had to do what they did and that they don't want to admit that what they did was sin. But it is sin. Abortion is a violation of God's commandments. God not only says, the Bible not only says that God hates the sin of abortion, it says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And you can read about that in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Yeah, every human being is created in God's image. Humans are formed and knit in the womb by God. This is what the Bible says. Read Genesis 1, read Psalm 139. The Bible also commands us. You may be saying, hey, you know what? That's not me. I haven't participated in that. Well, have you rescued those who are unjustly sentenced to death? God commands you to do so in Proverbs 24. And have you stood in the congregation? Have you actually advocated for the protection of every innocent human life? Have you defended the poor and the fatherless? Have you established justice in the land? God stands in the congregation, read Psalm 82, and actually judges, and he holds us accountable to actually standing up and upholding righteousness. It is important that we speak the truth on this issue so that those who have committed abortion, who have been involved in abortion, and even right now as we speak, some woman somewhere is probably delivering a dead baby on her own toilet. But we need to speak the truth and call people to repent of their sins so that they can realize that what they did was sin and stop justifying their sin and repent of their sin so that they can be forgiven of that sin and so that they can be set free from that guilt. And when we look at homosexuality, the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination to God. It says this in Leviticus 18, also says it in Leviticus 20. If you're one that says, hey, that's the Old Testament, that's not applicable, even though God says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he doesn't change, and Jesus said that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, that homosexuality is a sin. It's a deviation from God's standard. It's, in fact, doing what is immoral, doing what is unright and unjust. And the Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, God doesn't just single out homosexuals. He also says fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners, that those who practice these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's a very bad thing for those who have habitually committed these sins. Yet, it doesn't stop there, because in verse 11, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, when the truth is preached, when God's word is preached, when God's word is proclaimed, people can know their sin, God can convict them of their sins and grant them a spirit of repentance so that they can turn from their wicked ways and say with the Apostle Paul and with some others, such was I, but I'm not that anymore because God has set me free from that sin. So let's pray for the Pope, and not only for the Pope and the Catholic Church, but for every denomination, that God would raise up men and leaders that would be willing to speak the truth and call the wicked unto repentance, and that God would use those words, his words, to actually convict them of their sins and grant them a spirit of repentance. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Where would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children, and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact he's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study his word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand his will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.
Here is the first big question. What does the Bible actually say about heaven? What does it say? We all want to go there when we die, right? Mind you, we don't want to die to get there.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church, inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m., and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at